Yeah, you're good at pretending. Don't look so surprised. You pretend to be a virtuous little choir boy, but you know that I know the truth. Relax. This isn't about exposing you. I'd never do that. I'd never want to hurt you. Well, not against your will, anyway. Yeah, I'm sure you'd like to pretend that it wasn't real, or that it didn't happen. But it felt so good, didn't it? And there's the knowledge of what happened. Oh, I love to see that secret little smile dance across your face. It means you're excited. Oh, you think it was a one-time thing? I guess that it could be. It could be that you just needed to get it out of your system. And then you can go back to church on Sunday, and back to class on Monday, and pretend to be the good little freshman that everyone thinks you are. Right? Get right back to your honor society and your responsible drinking. Do I sound like I'm making fun of you? Huh. Well, maybe I am. Perhaps I'm even provoking you a little. But you already know about provocation, don't you? No? All right. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll let you know what I think happens. And then, if you disagree, I'll leave. And it'll never happen again. I won't bother you or even talk to you, if that's what you want. Deal? Good. This won't take long. We met at that birthday party. And you heard me talking about, what was it? Yeah, true crime. And we started sharing serial killer facts. And then everyone just sort of left us alone. Anyway, things went well that first night. And I ended up walking you home. And we made out in the late night drizzle. But something happened. It was like a switch flipped. And you said goodnight and went up to your apartment. I thought maybe I had done something wrong, gone too fast. I mean, I didn't expect to be invited up. I wouldn't have minded, but I didn't expect it either. So I went home. We'd exchanged numbers, but I was worried that you wouldn't want to see me. But then you called me the next day, and everything seemed fine. And that was the start of the pattern. Oh, come now. There's no need for denials. I'm not judging you. Really, I'm not. I was confused and worried, and even a little depressed about it. And you wouldn't talk about it. Not really. And every time we start getting seriously into something, you'd freeze up or freak out. We'd stop. And then the next day, you'd act like everything was fine. And I'd ask you what I did wrong. And you'd say nothing. But I didn't believe it. And eventually, you finally let me go down on you. Oh, I can see you're blushing just thinking about it. Was it your first time? I thought so. I was glad to make you come. And you were so beautiful, so free. Your moans and your whimpers and your gasps just turned me on more than any other boy ever had. After that, you said you were ready. You didn't say for what, but both of us knew. I was so hot for you. You touched me and guided me to you, open and ready. And I barely touched you, and you freaked out. You completely panicked. I was sure I had done something wrong this time, You were so afraid. This time, though, you let me hold you. It was strange. It was like you felt safe with me, but the idea of that last step terrified you, even as your body clearly desired it. So you cried, and I held you, and I wondered if you were going to dump me. Why? Because there was something wrong and you wouldn't tell me. You wouldn't really speak at all, not at first. And when you did, oh, it was just confusing. You just started telling me about how boring studying was. You liked it to be quiet, so you'd always go up to the 7th floor of the university library around 8 p.m. It was the religious studies section. No one was ever there at that time. It was nice and private, you said. But there were some problems. The first was, you were always so alone. You got the feeling at times that anything at all could happen to you there. And the second thing was that you were always tired by then, with no one around. You'd often fall asleep to the droning of the ventilation system. I listened because this seemed important to you somehow, but you just kind of repeated yourself a few times, and then fell asleep in my arms. It was nice, but I'd be lying if I said I wasn't incredibly frustrated. You're so goddamn sexy, you know that, right? Your lean physique, your fucking bedroom eyes, your taut hips bucking as you came on my tongue. And your taste. Fuck. I was in need. And a little angry, too. But I understood. Kind of. Something was going on. And I finally realized that it wasn't really about me. You liked me, and you enjoyed being with me. There was just something inside you that would get in the way of what you wanted. And you didn't even know how to talk about it. I went home, and I kept thinking about what you'd said. Like there was a secret code or message. I was driving home when I figured it out. I nearly went off the road. I had to pull over for a minute and calm down. Is that really what you wanted me to do? You're not saying anything. You were full of denials just a second ago, but now you're so quiet. Your face is all flushed, you know. And now you're biting your lip, looking away. You want to hear this, don't you? But there's still that part of you that's telling you that good boys aren't supposed to be like that, isn't there? No, you don't have to say anything. Just let me finish, and then you can dump me, or whatever you want to do. So I waited. It was challenging. You have no idea. I was excited by what might happen. I was worried, too, that I'd misunderstood you. Maybe you just wanted to fill the silence with small talk. Perhaps you didn't want me at all. But I wanted you so badly. Fuck. What you do to me should be criminal. Hell, I think that what I did to you is criminal. If I'm wrong about what you wanted, that is. So I went to the library. Usually I'm there during the day. It's busy then, and I'm on the busier floors. I went up to the 7th floor. I think it was the first time I'd ever been up there. And wow, were you ever right. It was so quiet. It was almost creepy. There was no one. No librarians. No students. Hell, there weren't even cameras like there were on some of the other floors. Maybe they just hadn't gotten around to installing them there yet. Better for us, huh? I wandered around. After I'd gone halfway through, I started to feel kind of stupid. I'd come back to campus thinking, what, I'd find you there? Not likely. And I was just about to give up when I saw that little study nook off in the corner. Just a few tables, desks, and chairs. Slightly dim, warm lighting. And there you were. You looked, well, like an angel. Don't laugh. I'm not flattering you. You were so peaceful, and you always looked so innocent. I think that's part of your problem, really. That image of innocence. Huh. You look a little upset. You're really squirming around in your chair. Do you want me to stop? I can go, that's it. No? All right, then. I'll keep going. There you were, head down on top of a book, arms splayed out limply. The pen in your hand had fallen out and rolled to the edge of the table. You were completely out. There's no way to fake that slow breathing or complete relaxation. Even then I wondered, was he really that tired? Or had he taken something? I never saw myself as the sort of person who would enjoy this sort of thing. But I can't lie. I was more turned on then than I had ever been in my life. I adore you. I adore your body. Just thinking about how you respond to my touch is enough to make me horny in a moment. I was so nervous, though. What if this wasn't what you wanted? What if you woke up during? What if someone walked in? But my fears were easily washed away by the sight of you there. Vulnerable. I suppose I'm more of a predator than I thought. Does that turn you on? Knowing the woman you love is willing to cross boundaries for... Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. I came up close to you and stroked your hair first. I know you love that. And I figured it would be a good way to see if you were going to wake up. You made a little noise and moved your head in response. But you were still completely out. Looking closely, I could see that your eyes were closed, but moving fast, you were dreaming. I pushed the laptop out of the way. We need more space. At first, I was gentle. I needed you so badly, though. I lifted you up, holding your limp weight gently, one arm around your chest, and the other under your ass. We're the same height, and I'm strong, so this wasn't hard for me. Fuck, I love the way you felt just then. I draped you onto the table, face down, legs dangling off, arms splayed out. You made a single whimper, but otherwise didn't react. I only realized then that you'd worn simple loose track pants. I looked around one more time, full of guilty excitement. Then I pulled down your pants. You must have known that I would come to you like this. Why else would you have worn these? Usually you wear jeans. I was about to pull them off, but something stopped me. No, it wasn't my conscience. I reached into your backpack and pulled out the box cutter that I knew you kept there for use in your art classes. I pushed out the blade, each click sounding like a gunshot in the silence. I stuck my thumb under the waistband of your briefs and cut it. Then I pulled the crotch out a bit. There was a spot of damp, so you must have been having a good dream. I sliced this as well and pulled your briefs off completely. Yes, I still have them. I kept them as a souvenir. Are you squirming and blushing so much right now? It's adorable. I put the blade away and back into your backpack. I looked at you lying there, and I knew I wanted you. And somehow I was still patient. I ran my hand up the back of your calf, to your thigh, and then your ass. I squeezed it hard. You'd let me touch you before, but I'd always been reasonably gentle. This time, I wasn't. I guess without witnesses, the beast just came out of me. I didn't think you'd like it, but you moaned. Yes, you did. You moaned as if it was the sweetest thing in the world to have your ass groped that hard. I might have left bruises, you know. Then I took that same hand and a single finger, and I put it in my mouth. I licked it and made sure it was nice and wet, like you. Do you know what I did then? Oh, I'm sure you do, but I'm not going to tell you unless you ask. Nicely. Good boy. I slowly pushed that finger inside you. I still expected your eyes to fly awake at any time, and this seemed less wrong than what I really wanted to do to you. Oh my God, you were so tight. I didn't really care that you were a virgin before that moment. You told me you were, of course, but it had never really mattered to me before. Now, though, it seemed necessary. I needed to be the one to defile you. You whimpered in your sleep, and your hand twitched. I felt a firm clench on my finger, and your hole gripped it tight. I re-wetted my finger and began pumping it in and out of your tightness, slowly, so slowly. Your hips rolled a little, and your breathing sped up. You're not the first boy I've been with. Maybe you don't want to hear this, but I have to tell you this because I have never been with a sexier or more responsive boy. I was only at it for a minute, maybe two, when you came. Oh, yes, you did. I don't care that you were asleep. I know what an orgasm looks like, even from behind. Your body shook and tensed, and you came hard. You made a noise between fear and want, and your hole gripped my finger so tightly as if to hold on to it. Of course, you were enjoying it. I was so excited then for you, I wasn't even thinking straight. In the back of my mind, a voice said, "He never agreed to this." And I suppose that voice was correct. You hinted, to be sure, but never gave full consent in any obvious way. There was another voice, one that I'd never heard before, and it said, "So what? Just take him." I listened to the latter one. I lifted my skirt and pulled out my girl cock. I was so horny for you. I'm horny now, just thinking about it. But then, I ached to fill you with my girl cock. I spat in my hand to lube up, then hovered at the entrance to your sweet hole. Your entire body twitched as it felt something new and much thicker than my finger pushing its way inside you. I was so sure you would wake up now. I had my hands on your hips, and I gripped you tight, giving you no room to escape. And finally, I was entirely inside of you. I'll never forget the way you looked. Your face was flushed, and your lips were parted. Your arms and body were still limp, but you took in great, shuddering breaths. You were breathtakingly beautiful. I became grateful for you at that moment, realizing that you'd given yourself up to me completely. I was in awe of such trust. If I hadn't fallen for you already, I would have, right then. I began to move. Again, I was gentle at first. I wanted to be nice for you, but there was really nothing nice about this, was there? In fact, oh, never mind. Are you sure you want to know? Fine. Do you know what I would have done had you woken up right then, crying and begging me to stop? I would have put my hand in your hair and kept your head down on the table, and then I would have kept going. I was beyond the capacity of being a moral person. This is how crazy you made me. You moaned and came again. Again! I wondered if this had been inside you the whole time, frustrated by your religious upbringing. Is this what you truly needed? A hard cock and a good fuck, bent over a desk like a slut? Do you like that word? Are you sure you don't? You squeeze your legs together when I said it. In any case, this is when I lost any pretense of kindness or self-control. I fucked you hard, harder than I've ever fucked anyone in my entire life. Your ass jiggled under the impact. Your arms and hands twitched and slid limply. Your head swayed. I fucked you harder still, relishing the sight of your passivity, your inability to resist or do anything but take me in. I was grunting with effort now, and I slid my hand in your hair, gripping it tightly and pulling your head up so I could kiss and bite your neck. Fuck! I love the taste of you. You might have woken up then. I felt your body twitch and heard a noise like a sigh. It could have been merely an automatic response to what I was doing. Or you could have woken and decided to pretend to still be sleeping. It didn't matter to me anymore. Nothing did, except the need I had for your tight hole. I groaned far too loudly as I came. I felt you quiver beneath me again as I quaked against you. I had wanted this for so long, fantasized about it so many times. And it was better than I've ever imagined. It was the best orgasm of my life. I felt myself spasming as I continued to piston into you over and over. I imagine how full you might have felt. And then I was back to myself again, satisfied but conflicted. I cared for you deeply. But I'd used you relentlessly. I'd used you like you weren't even a person. You were, well, let's face it, you were my fuck toy. Did you just moan? Does that idea excite you? I think it does. I tried to restore you somewhat to the way you were. I reseated you and rearranged your track pants so that your cum wouldn't leak outside of them. I'm so classy, right? I moved your laptop back, and then, thinking about it, rolled up my sweater and put it under your head. I was genuinely thinking of your comfort, but I also wanted you to know that I've been there. Inside you. You were mine. You are mine. I worried about what the day after would be like. We met for lunch, as usual. Neither one of us mentioned anything. But the difference in your demeanor was obvious. You were so relaxed and so happy. You couldn't stop touching me. You kept asking if I would stay over in your apartment with you this weekend. I agreed. So, here I am, and here we are. You're still a little nervous about doing this. Some part of you is telling you that you're a slut for enjoying getting used and taken. That's why I suggested tying you up. You can't be a slut if you can't resist, right? That's why I'm telling you this story, too. to make sure that you're hard and open and ready for me, like a good little fuck toy. Don't worry, I might make you cry, but I will definitely make you come.